Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now, I'm really excited to chat to our first guest today because she's written a book called Age Less, How I Reduced My Biological Age from 60 to 20, and how you can do it too. Welcome to the show, Sandra Parsons.
Hello. Hi, Selena. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm delighted to have you on. I want to know more. First of all, just going back, I believe this started when you had quite a bad back injury.
Yes. So it's about 15 years ago now. And I was in a very sort of stressful job, working very long hours, also the mother of two young children. And I had just managed to give up smoking. I'd smoked for, you know, decades, 15 a day, and I just managed to give up. Thanks to Paul McKenna, actually, who hypnotized me.
Yes, he's excellent.
But anyway, my sister-in-law, who was still is a keen runner, she said to me, "Why don't you start running? Because I think that would be, you know, a good alleviator for your stress." So I said, "Why? Well, you know, I really don't know if I can run anyway." She said, "Just try running to the church and back, which is about a mile." Anyway, I tried. Honestly, couldn't run to the end of the road. And I was quite shocked by that.
Yeah.
Because I did no exercise at all. You know, I worked these mad hours. I'd just given up smoking. I drank wine every night. I ate ready meals. Anyway, so then I was quite sort of shocked by that. So then I said, right, I'm going to do this. I was really determined. So I got up 3 mornings a week, really early, about 6 a.m., and did this, you know, walk, jog, walk, jog, walk, jog. And after about 3 weeks, I did manage to run to the church and back without stopping, really, 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 really slowly. And when I got home, I just felt this agonizing pain in my back. And I thought, oh, you know, that's not good. So then I drove the kids to school, and I could barely sit in the car. It was so painful. Came back home, got on the tube for my commute to work, which was about an hour. And just couldn't stand, couldn't sit, didn't know what to do with myself, sort of groaning, people giving me very odd looks, but obviously not saying anything because this was the London Tube. And anyway, long story short, later that day, a very kind colleague took me to see her osteopath, who said, "You know, I don't know what's happened, but it's quite bad and your entire back's gone into spasm."
Oh, that's awful.
So, yeah. Anyway, it turned out to be a very severe prolapsed disc, the result of a curvature in my spine, a scoliosis, which I didn't realise I had. The whole of my right leg was numb, and all my toes and my foot. And I could only hobble for about a week. I could only hobble, and it was agonising, obviously. And I just thought, God, you know, this is how it must feel to be really old, and it was terrifying. Anyway, a few doctors I saw suggested that I probably would need surgery. But my husband, who's also a doctor, said, actually, don't. You know, let's just wait. Let's just see what happens. And, you know, because these things can resolve on their own. So I then eventually, after about 2 or 3 months, when I could sort of move a bit more, I started going to Pilates. And because I realized I needed to improve my core strength, because I didn't have any core strength. And that's what really, you know, helped my back to go. And I still remember after that first session of Pilates, reformer Pilates it was, every muscle, I was just screaming in agony. But I was still so shaken up and so thinking, I really don't want to be walking like an old person. I kept going. And I began to see changes quite quickly in the actual shape of my body. And I started to feel better. And that kind of grew. It was just this cumulative thing. And, you know, then I started doing yoga. And after about a year, I even started running again. And I was suddenly exercising sort of 6 days a week without ever meaning to. And then I started to get really interested in exercise and diet. One of the things about the Pilates class was that it was facing a mirror. So you were always looking at yourself in a mirror. And I realized that actually I was, you know, a bit overweight, not hugely, but anyway, so I also went to Weight Watchers and I lost a stone.
Wow.
And that was the first time I'd ever really, it sounds so stupid, but that I ever really thought about, you know, the connection between what you put in your mouth and how, you know, what that does to your body.
I think all been there. You end up on a treadmill, don't you? And you don't have time to think about these things.
No, I didn't have time. I didn't have the energy either. And of course, the irony is that you only need to start doing a little bit of exercise or lose a little bit of weight and you begin to have a bit more energy and you're motivated and the whole thing snowballs from there. But when you're on that treadmill, as you rightly say, it's, you know, it's very, very difficult to get off it. So I am really grateful that I injured my back like that because it led to all these changes. And anyway, I became more and more interested in it to the point of obsession, probably. And then I started reading every book there was. And then about two and a half years ago now, I sort of really quite sort of fit and, you know, eating very, very healthily. I read about a biological age test called Glycan Age in a women's magazine, actually, and I'd cut it out because I'm that age where we cut things out still. And a few months later, I found it. And I thought, actually, I'll just give that a go. I'll see. You know, that'd be interesting. And so Glycan Age, what they do is it's a blood test and they test your blood for things called glycans, which are very, very powerful biomarkers of inflammation in the body. And we've got literally billions of them in our body, billions of glycans. And they test them on something called immunoglobulin G, which is a protein in the body. Anyway, a few weeks later, I got this result back and sort of nearly fell off my chair because, you know, the email said, congratulations, Sandra, you have a biological age of 20.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
And by now, I was 61 then. Anyway, so included in the price of this test was a sort of half-hour consultation once you'd got your results because they're very clear that if you change your lifestyle, you can decrease your biological age, you know. So I booked in for one of those. And the first thing I said to the guy was, you know, you must have made a mistake, you know. And he was quite offended. And he said, I assure you, we don't make mistakes. I said, no, you obviously have, you know, because how can I be 20? Anyway, he talked me through it. And he said, no, we haven't made a mistake. And, you know, there's this showing this and that showing that. And he talked me all the way through it. And he said, you know, that it's not a mistake and well done, you know, and they ask you all about your lifestyle and your exercise and your diet and everything. And he said, you know, you obviously live really healthily and congratulations. Anyway, so then about 18 months later, last year when I was 62, I did it again and I was pretty nervous because by then I was writing this book. I was a long way through writing it, actually. I thought, oh, God, you know, maybe I just shouldn't do the test. Maybe it's better not to know.
Yeah, ignorance is bliss.
Anyway, I know. Anyway, I thought, no, woman up. So I did it and came back again as 20. So
oh, even though you're slightly older now. Yeah, that's brilliant.
So, well, I'm now 63 and I haven't done one again since I was 63, but I will. But I think it, you know, it does show that the message I want to really get across to people is I know how it feels. You know, I didn't do any exercise at all. I wasn't fit. I wasn't healthy in any way. You know, I drank. I'd only recently stopped smoking. I was in my mid-40s, all the rest of it. You know, if you'd said to me then that, you know, this would happen to me and that I'd become this sort of exercise freak who thinks, you know, it's can think of nothing nicer than going for a run and, you know, likes to eat a lot of fibre, I would have said you were mad. But the thing is, it does really work and you do feel better and better and better. So I'm trying to sort of spread that message to people that it's easier than you think. You know, you just have to do it one small step at a time, really.
Yeah, I think that's important. But is it just a matter of saying to people, well, you know, eat healthily, do some exercise, which I think we all know? Or in the book, have you gone through the science of it all?
No, I have gone through the science of it all because I'm very well aware, you know, that I'm not a scientist and I'm not a doctor. But so what I've done for the book is I've interviewed Quite a few of the world's top longevity scientists, actually. And not only have I interviewed them, but each section of the book that references them or references their area of expertise, I then sent to them after I'd written it for them basically to put a mark, you know, to make sure I got everything right. So I'm confident that, you know, that the book is right because everything in it has been approved by them. And, you know, the interesting thing is that what they call caloric restriction, which is essentially eating less, they all, you know, they disagree on quite a lot of things, scientists, right, but they all agree that the best anti-aging thing you can do, both for your longevity and for your health, is to eat less. And there was a really fascinating study called the calorie trial, which is still the largest trial there's ever been done, because it's quite difficult to study humans and give them less to eat. Especially now, you know, when, I mean, back in the day, they used to do it when there were no kind of protocols and safeguards in place. But now it's much more difficult. Anyway, what the calorie trial set out to do with about 200 adults, none of whom were obese, but none of whom were very, very thin either. They were kind of average people. And they kept them, their aim was for them to eat 25% less. Because previous studies had shown that 30% caloric restriction was a good sort of benchmark for longevity and health. Anyway, and it was a 2-year trial, but over the course, and they weren't to change anything else about their diets, these people, they were just to eat less. Anyway, none of them managed to eat 25% less, but they did manage on average to eat 10 to 12% less. So over the course of 2 years, they ate 10 to 12% less. And they lost on average 7.5 kilograms, which is well over a stone in weight. They improved all their markers, you know, their cholesterol improved, their risk of cardiovascular disease improved, their risk diabetes risk went down. Yeah, every single aspect of health improved. Yeah. And when they tested them for their biological age, they found that for every chronological year, they had aged by only, biologically aged by only 1 month.
Interesting.
So, yeah. So if you go into like a sort of full-blown fast, your body goes into something called autophagy, where it clears out rubbish toxins and, you know, cells that need repairing or are diseased or are dying, which obviously happens all the time. And it literally eats them. Autophagy means self-eating. And then when you start eating again, it begins the process of building new ones. But if you do this sort of 10 to 12% less, you know, you're just encouraging. Your body does this all the time anyway, but you're encouraging it to do it more. And if you combine that with fasting, but you don't actually need to fast that much either. You know, there was a lot of publicity a few years ago about doing this sort of what people called the 16-8, you know, where you fasted for 16 hours and ate everything within an 8-hour window. But you actually don't need to do that. You actually only need to fast overnight for 12 hours.
Okay.
So if you eat nothing from 7 or 8 p.m., let's say whenever you have your evening meal, let's say you have it, say 7, 8, 9, doesn't matter when you have it. If you then eat nothing for the next 12 hours, so that the next thing you eat is breakfast, that's all you need to do to get the benefits of fasting. And not only that, it's actually quite important to eat breakfast. So all this came from someone called Dr. Valter Longo, who's, I think, probably the world's leading expert on fasting and autophagy and caloric restriction. And I went out to see him in California, so at the University of Southern California. These things are quite doable. Mm. You know, a lot of people actually do snack after they've had their evening meal. So you just have to train yourself out of snacking, you know. So, you know, if you go for a walk after a meal, that's a really good idea anyway, because it decreases, it, allows your blood sugar to fall more quickly. But you know, it also, it's distracting. Do you see what I mean? So anything you can do, if you're in the habit of snacking, to distract you, and it doesn't take the brain very long to get into it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe you've got a three-step plan. So obviously we've talked about reducing calories and fasting and obviously exercising as well. But you say that another thing that's important is resting more deeply.
Yes, absolutely. It's crucial. I mean, there's, you know, if you've had a bad night's sleep, you know, you wake up feeling terrible and you just don't have the energy. You feel as though nothing's really possible. Whereas if you've had a good night's sleep, you wake up feeling great and thinking nothing is impossible. And it's, again, you know, there's the saying, you know, the shorter your sleep, the shorter your life. There was a brilliant book by a guy called Matthew Walker, who's a neuroscientist at University of Berkeley in near San Francisco, although he's British. But, you know, he wrote a lot about sleep and how incredibly powerful it is and how bad it is for us to do without it, which it really is. And so he's sort of set the world on alert that we all need to be sleeping more. But the good news is, I spoke to someone who Matthew Walker says is one of the world's top sleep clinicians, a great guy called Dr. Michael Granner at the University of Arizona. He runs a sleep clinic there. And he said, yes, you know, that is true. But equally, you know, if we couldn't withstand, you know, not sleeping very well, the human race would have died out a long, long time ago. So, you know, the thing is not to panic about it. And he helped me come up with this 3-week plan for sleep, which it's the beginning of, I mean, it would probably take you a bit longer than 3 weeks, but he says it's fail-safe. You know, the most hardened insomniacs get back to sleeping normally using this really very simple plan, which trials have shown to be at least as effective, if not more so, than any drug you can take.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, sadly, we're out of time, but I know that there's lots more in the book, including quizzes at each step to assess your health and clever food swaps. The book introduces key changes to your daily routine that will repair years of damage and transform the way you feel. We're selling the book right now on our website, tre.radio. It's called Ageless, How I Reduced My Biological Age from 60 to 20, and it's by Sandra Parsons, who we're chatting to now. If people want to find out more about you, Sandra, are you on any sort of social media at all?
I am. I'm a very newcomer to Instagram, actually. And it's, the handle for that is @agelessthemethod. And I'm also on TikTok and Twitter with just @agelessmethod and YouTube as well, I think. So,
ooh, you're everywhere.
It's a bit of a learning.
Bless you. Well, I thank you for your time today and all your advice. Thank you, Sandra. Right. Bye bye.
Thank you very much. Bye. Bye.